Hare Krishna. So first of all, it's an extremely great pleasure to again be here in Sri Radharas Bihari Mandir, to be here at the lotus feet of Sri Sri Nitai Gorsundar, Sri Sri Radharas Bihari Ladita Vishaka, Sri Sitaram Lakshman Hanuman, be here at the lotus feet of Srila Prabhupada, and to be here with all the wonderful devotees of Juhu Yatra. I was just thinking this morning that it's 41 years since I got darshan, or 41 years ago, first time I got darshan of Radharas Bihari. That time they were just in a little tin shed back here over in the corner. That was 1974. After the Mayapur festival, Prabhupada invited us for doing Sankirtan protest, because the police said that the kirtan on our property was a public nuisance. So Prabhupada wanted to have a Sankirtan protest. So instead of going back to America, we came here to Bombay. And that time, 1974, 41 years ago, we got darshan of Radharas Bihari. They were just a little tin shed. We had no idea. Prabhupada was talking about big marble temple and twin tower guest house and all these things. Because that time in America, or in the Western world anywhere, temple meant we got a house in a low rent district. We painted it funny colors and we put a sign, Radha Krishna Temple. That was temple. So I love to come to Juhu because this is Prabhupada's temple. We had no idea how to make it real temple that time. So I love, this is eating, sleeping, breathing, drinking, everything is Prabhupada in this temple. Because he made this beautiful temple. With the help of very dear God brother of mine who just left this world, Sarvi Paliyantam Prabhu. So, in fact, I insisted that because we're living in this wonderful temple that he made, that since he just left but 10 days ago, so tomorrow will be 11th day, we can have some nice memorial service. So tomorrow we'll have memorial service for Sarvi Prabhu. Because we're all living in this wonderful temple that he designed and got built for Srila Prabhupada. Hare Krishna. Om Namo Bhagavate Vasudevaya. Om Namo Bhagavate Vasudevaya. Om Namo Bhagavate Vasudevaya. So reading Srimad Bhagavatam, Canto 7, Chapter 3, Hiranyakashipu's plan to become immortal. Text number 34. Anantavakta Rupena Yenidam Akilam Tatam Chirachich Chakti Yuktaya Tasmai Bhagavate Namaha. Ananda Vyakta Rupena Yenidam Akilam Tatam Chidachit Chakti Yuktaya Tasmai Bhagavate Namaha. Ananta Vyakta Rupena Yenedam Akilam Tatam Chidachit Chakti Yuktaya Tasmai Bhagavate Namaha. Ananda Vyakta Rupena Yenedam Akilam Tatam Chidachit Shakti Yuktaya Tasmai Bhagavate Namah. Akilam datam Ladies, Ananta Vyakta Rupena, by the unlimited, unmanifested form, Yena, by which, Idam, this, Akilam, total aggregate, Tatam, expanded, Chit, with spiritual, Achit, and material, Shakti, potency, Yuktaya, unto he who is endowed, Tasmai, unto him, Bhagavate, unto the Supreme Personality of Godhead. Namaha, I offer my respectful obeisances. Translation. Let me offer my respectful obeisances unto the Supreme, who in his unlimited unmanifested form has expanded the cosmic manifestation, the form of the totality of the universe. He possesses external and internal energies and the mixed energy called marginal potency, which consists of all living entities. Translation, please repeat. Let me offer my respectful obeisances unto the Supreme, who is unlimited, who in his unlimited unmanifested form has expanded the cosmic manifestation, the form of the totality of the universe. He possesses external and internal energies and the mixed energy called the marginal potency, which consists of all the living entities. Purport by His Divine Grace, A.C. Bhaktivedanta Swami Srila Prabhupada. The Lord is endowed with unlimited potencies, Parasya Shakti Vividaya Visruyate, which are summarized as three, namely external, internal, and marginal. The external potency manifests this material world. The internal potency manifests the spiritual world. And the marginal potency manifests the living entities, or mixtures of internal and external. The living entity, being part and parcel of Param Brahman, is actually internal potency. But because of being in contact with the material energy, he is an emanation of material and spiritual energies. The Supreme Personality of Godhead is above the material energy and is engaged in spiritual pastimes. Material energy is only an external manifestation of his pastimes. Anantavyakta-rupena yenedam-makilam datam chidachit-chakti-yuktaya tasmai bhagavate nama. Let me offer my respectful obeisances unto the Supreme, who in his unlimited, unmanifested form has expanded the cosmic manifestation, the form of the totality of the universe. He possesses external and internal energies and the mixed energy called marginal potency, which consists of all living entities. Om Ajnana Timirandasya Gyananjana Shalakaya Chaksurun Militam Jena Tasmai Sri Gurave Nama Sri Chaitanya Manuvistam Stapitam Jena Bhutale Sayam Rupa Kadamayam Dadati Svapadandigam Adadanastrinandandai Vridam Yache Puna Puna Srimad Rupa Padam Bujo Dulisyam Janma Janmani Jaya Sri Krishna Chaitanya Prabhu Nityananda Sri Advaita Gadada Shivasadi Gaura Bhaktivin Hare Krishna, Hare Krishna, Krishna Krishna, Hare Hare, Hare Rama, Hare Rama, Rama Rama, Hare Hare. I was born in the darkest of ignorance with my eyes closed shut, but my spiritual masters opened my eyes with the torchlight of transcendental knowledge. Therefore, I offer my humble obeisances at his lotus feet. So in this chapter, Hiranyakashipu is offering prayers to Lord Brahma, as if Lord Brahma were the Supreme Personality of Godhead. It's very interesting that even though Hiranyakashipu was a demon, he knows all this philosophy. Just like we see also Ravana, though he was a demon, he was actually a Brahman. He also knew all the philosophy and everything. But still, somehow or other, I don't know the reason, he's mistaking Lord Brahma, as the Supreme Personality of Godhead and offering prayers in that sense. So here he prays, Chidachik Shakti Yuktaya. As Prabhupada explains in the purport, Lord has unlimited varieties of potencies. Prasya Sakti Vividai Vasriyat. Vivid means so many different types of potencies. Unlimited types of energies Lord has. But basically they are divided into three groups. The internal potency, Chit. The Achit, external potency. And the marginal potency. The living, Tatasta Shakti, the living entities. Internal potency means, of course, the spiritual energies of the Lord. And external means the material energies of the Lord. That is also part of the Lord. As we understand, everything is the Lord, but He's expanded in different potencies. Just like we can see in this body, one part is conscious. And like our fingernails and our hair, it is also part of the body. But every couple of weeks, or at least every month, we're cutting the hair and nobody's crying. Every couple of weeks we cut our fingernails, we don't feel any pain. It is part of the body, But it is, we can say, like external energy. If I cut my body anywhere, then it hurts. But every couple of weeks we're cutting our nails, nobody cries. So like that, this external, this material energy, that is the external energy. It is also part of the Lord, but it is different from the internal potency of the Lord. And then Prabhupada explains, originally belonging to the internal potency is the living entities. They're called marginal potency, but actually Prabhupada explains they're part of the internal potency. But because they're weak, they're able to be influenced by the external potency, they become covered by this material body. This material body is not a real identity. Just like Prabhupada gives a very simple example. You ask any child, what is this? He will say nose, what is this ear, what is this mouth, what is this hair, what is this belly, what is this chest, this is arm, this is leg. Now if I say, and you're pointing to each thing, if I say point to you, automatically people will go like this, isn't it? But that's your chest, you just told me that's your chest. So if I say point to you, then you'll go like that. You say, once I correct you, that you just said that's your chest, and say like this. But that's your body. We say, right, my body. Do we ever say I body? We say my body, just like these are my glasses. You can see there's me and there's the glasses, two different things. This is my glasses, they belong to me. So if I say it's my body, they understand there's two things. There's something that is possessing the body. That is the soul. When he again engages in the eternal service of the Supreme Personality of Godhead, then he comes under the protection of the internal potency. So the living entity, he's in one sense, he's non-different from Krishna. But his position is marginal. As long as he takes shelter of Krishna, then he's free from this cycle of birth and death. As soon as he takes shelter of material energy, boop, he gets a material body and has to suffer in so many ways. But the living entity is also Satchidananda. He's eternal, full of bliss and knowledge. Just like the spark and the fire. The fire is heat and light. And we see the spark, he's also heat and light. But we cannot say that the spark is the fire. He's like the fire, but we cannot say it is a fire. And we see those sparks that dance above the fire, they glow. As soon as they go away from the fire, they go out. So that is our position. As long as we're engaged in service of the Lord, then we are bright spirit souls, happy. As soon as we go away, then we become covered by this dark material body and our spiritual glow is gone. Just like you may have had the experience, everybody's had the experience that there was some devotee in the temple who didn't make it. He went back, he left the ashram, went back to the material world. And you're out distributing books and suddenly you run into that devotee. What is the first thing you notice? His face is no longer bright. We see all the devotees in the temple, they're all bright face, jumping up and down, just like we saw everybody was jumping up and down in Devakinanda's ecstatic kirtan. Faces are bright. But as soon as you meet someone who left Krishna consciousness again, went back to sense gratification, the face is dark, is it? So the spark, as long as he dances above the fire, he's bright. As soon as he leaves the fire, he's dark. Like that. So these are the Lord has unlimited amounts of potencies, like this material energy, we can divide it up into earth, air, fire, water, then mind, intelligence, ego. So many, but actually Lord has unlimited different types of potencies. So this is Hiranyakashipu's prayer. He's aware of all, that's amazing, he's aware of all this philosophy. But still he wants to challenge Lord Vishnu and establish himself as supreme. It's very interesting. So anyway, there wasn't much in this purport, and Asim Krishna Prabhu was giving me the order that I should also speak something about Krishna Leela. So yesterday we were in Madhuvan, but due to time restrictions we couldn't finish. We had come, first we went to Dhruv Tila, where Dhruva Maharaj, we read about all these things. But if you come to Vrindavan, then you can see the places where all these things we read about in the pages of Srimad Bhagavatam, we can see where they happen. Then we enter the village, we come to a beautiful place called Krishnakund. As we told in Dwapar Yuga, then Krishna and the cowherd boys used to play there in Madhuvan. So it's a beautiful, very large kund. Very nicely, steps have been made very nicely. And it's called Krishnakund. There Krishna and Balaram and all the cowherd boys used to sport daily. While herding the calves and cows, they would sport there in this Krishnakund. Just next door to Krishnakund, there's a beautiful Dauji temple. There used to be just a tiny little Dauji like this, with beautiful eyes, just like if you see the moon on Ekadasi night. His eyes were just like that. Just very beautiful. You can see he's a little intoxicated from drinking Biruni. But two Kartiks ago, there's one devotee in Calcutta congregation named Abhidhut Das. He established a very stout, wonderful, big deity like this of Baladev. Very beautiful deity of Baladev, with big Anantashesh coming from behind. His right hand is giving his ashirvad. You can see his left hand, he's holding his pot of Biruni. Very beautiful deity. And last Kartik, at the end of last Kartik, on the Dwadasi day of Kartik, Shukla Ekadasi, he established Balaram's wives, Biruni Devi and Revati Devi. Although Revati is, she's not actually, they're not actually part of, really of Braj Leela. Revati is from Dwarka Leela. But she has an interesting history, how she became Balaram's wife. Just not far from Somnath, there's a place called Damodar Kund. And if we have any Russians here in the temple, the guy who runs the guest house, he speaks perfect Russian. Because all the Russian devotees from Ahmedabad, they used to go and stay there. And I forget why he knows Russian, but the guest house owner, he knows perfect Russian. So behind Damodar Kund, there's a mountain that is called Raivat Mountain. It is not far from, what is this famous, something Giri, where you, there's 10,000 steps or something to climb up. Girnar. Just next door to Girnar, there's a mountain called Raivat, named after Raivata Maharaj, who appeared in Satyayuga. Long, long time ago in Satyayuga. And Raivat Maharaj, he had a very beautiful daughter. And because his name was Raivat, she was known, it became known as Revati, the daughter of Raivat. Now the fathers, they're very, very, very much attached to the daughters. I know I have one. And unless they can get a proper husband for their daughter, they're never satisfied. They don't get proper husband, the father will suffer for the rest of his life. But Raivat Maharaj, he was particularly picky. He took interview from many, many suitors, but he was never satisfied with anyone. He was very attached to his daughter, didn't want to give her to anyone. So he couldn't find proper husband. Couldn't find proper groom. So then he thought, let me go consult with Brahma. He knows everybody in the universe. He must know a suitable suitor for my hand of my daughter. So he took Revati, they went up to Brahmaloka. Now Brahma, he's running the whole universe. So just like whenever you go to your temple president or your GBC, there's a big sign outside on the door, meeting going on, do not disturb, isn't it? Anytime we have to go consult with the president, there's meeting going on, do not disturb. So Lord Brahma was having meeting with all the demigods, sign was there, do not disturb. So Raivat and his daughter Revati, they sat in the waiting room. Now we remember in the Brahmavimohan Leela that Lord Brahma, he went away for a moment. Just a moment he went away and a whole year passed on the earth. So now we know meetings, they just go on and on and on. There's one great sage in America named Murphy. He says a meeting is an event where hours are kept and minutes are kept and hours are lost. We keep minutes, but hours are lost. So hours went by while Revati and Revati were sitting there. Finally, the secretary said, "Now you can come in." He came to see Lord Brahma, and he began to discuss his problem. And Lord Brahma began to laugh. He says, "Not funny." He said, "No, no, no. All the people you're talking about, they've already died. Their children have died. Their children have died. Nobody even remembers the names of the people you're talking about. While you're sitting in my office, thousands of years have gone by on earth. Lakhs of years have gone by on earth. The people you're talking about, they don't even exist. Nobody even remembers their names. But not to worry, by the time you get back to the earth planet, it will be end of Dwapar Yug. And just nearby your Raivat in Dwarka, it's not far, there's a very handsome fellow named Balabhadra. He's the perfect suitor for your daughter." So sure enough, when Raivat Maharaj came back to the earth, he left in Satyug. He came back, thousands of years had gone by in the meeting time. When he came back to the earth, it was end of Dwapar Yug. People were very small. The Satyug people are very tall, but Dwapar Yug people were very small. They were astounded. They went to Dwarka and they found Baladev, and they proposed to Baladev that you marry Revati. Now Baladev, he looked at this big tall girl. Now I've seen in India, we always try to arrange that the bride and groom, they must be matching in every way. Isn't it? We always try to make sure they match in every way. We'll never match big tall girl and short boy. Just like my Brindakum Pujari, he got big shock one time. He's a very simple fellow from village. So I've been very dear friend from London named Krishna Chaitanya. Now Krishna Chaitanya, he's so black, he makes the nighttime look like daytime. And his wife, I've forgotten her name, she's so white, she makes the snow look like coal. So my Brindakum Pujari, he looked when I told him, their husband and wife? Who can make match like this? Anyway, we try to make them forever, similar. So Lord Balaram, he looked up at this big tall girl. Then he took his plow, because Lord Balaram's always holding this plow, right? He stuck it on Revati's shoulder. He brought her down to size. Then he married Revati. So that's actually not part of Braj Leela, that's part of Dwarka Leela. But anyway, this beautiful deity of Dauji and Varuni and Revati is there. So next, after Madhuvan, there's a little beautiful walk in Kartik when the weather is nice, beautiful, like 40-minute walk. Otherwise, you have to go on the highway, you have to go all the way around on the Bharatpur Road and come to then you can't even get in. The bus can't come inside the village. You still have to walk anyway. So usually we just walk to Taliban. And now there's only about 3 or 4 tall trees left. And most of them are not very tall. They're tall trees, but they're not very tall. And I don't know, we have tall trees in Bombay. I know in Orissa there's tons of them. In Mayapur also. But they're like a fan type of palm tree. In the old Krishna book, because our artists didn't know, they drew it like a date palm, like this, with little fingers. But it's actually like a hand, like a fan. And these big eggplant-colored fruits, looking like big eggplants, grow on a stem. And then gradually they turn bright orange, because they were originally purple. There's little purple highlights coming out. And very, very sweet. One time we came to Taliban, because that particular year Kartik was very early. So there were still 2 tall fruits left on the tall tree. And there was a Baba named Priyasaran Baba who was in charge that time. So he immediately called a couple of his disciples to go there. They brought those tall fruits down, they emptied out, they cut them up and made juice. Because it's very stringy, if you eat it, it's very stringy, but if you make juice, it's very nice. So they made nice tall fruit juice. And all our foreign devotees were dumping out their bish lahari, and filling it up with tall fruit juice. Everybody was enjoying tall fruit juice. So, having lived in Braj for more than 30 years, I've seen in the summertime the wind blows from the east. Excuse me, from the west, coming off the Rajasthan desert. The Loo. But in rainy season nowadays, this wind is blowing from the east. This nice cool breeze is coming from the east. So described that Krishna and Balaram and the cowherd boys were playing. And when little boys play, they become very, very hungry. And the scent of ripe tal fruits was coming to where they were playing. So I speculated that the cowherd boys must have been playing on the western side, because the tal fruits, they come in the rainy season. So the wind was coming from east, so they must have been on western. This is my speculation. But now, we have this Sararta Darshani Tika, of Biswanath Chakravarti Thakur. And Biswanath Chakravarti Thakur explains that in the rainy season, the wind blows from the east. So the cowherd boys were smelling the fruits. They must have been on the western side. So my speculation was correct. So they told Krishna that, oh, we're so hungry. This nice smell of tal fruit is coming from Taliban. Why don't you bring some fruits for us? The problem is this Taliban is protected by one demon named Denukasura in the form of an ass. Now Denukasura, his previous history, he was a descendant of Prahlad Maharaj called Sahasik. And one day Sahasik was sitting in front of his guru, Brihaspati, and he had his foot sticking out toward his guru. We never point our feet at, especially elder, but at anyone. Or superior, we never point. But he was sitting. So Brihaspati said, you're sitting like an ass, you become an ass. Then he said, oh Gurudev, please forgive me. He said, anyway, I have given you the curse, but you will be liberated by Lord Baladev. In Dwapar Yuga, when Lord Baladev comes, you will be liberated from this ass form. So, it's not in our Srimad Bhagavatam, but it must be in some other Purana, that one of the benedictions that Prahlad Maharaj asked from Lord Narsimhadev was that nobody in my, none of my descendants should ever be killed by you. You killed my father, but you should never kill any of my descendants. So Krishna, he can't kill Dhanukasura because he's a descendant of Prahlad Maharaj. So Krishna, he winked at Baladev. You go. So Baladev, he immediately understood. So he entered in the Talavan forest. He grabbed one tall tree and he began to shake it like this. And all the tall fruit started coming down. So we know asses, they have big ears. So Dhanukasura, he heard this, somebody's stealing my tall fruits. So he began to chant his poetry. Prabhupada says the ass thinks he's singing sweet poetry. So he came running. He saw Baladev was shaking all the tall fruits out of the tree. Then again he did the same thing. He turned his back to Baladev. Not only did he turn his back to Baladev, he began to kick Baladev in the chest with his hind legs. Now Baladev, his chest is as hard as a thunderbolt. It was just like throwing flowers for Baladev. But Baladev became very angry. He grabbed that Dhanuka by the hind legs. He whirled him around and around. Whirling him around, his life air came out of his body. Then he threw him in the top of a tall tree. That tall tree fell over, hit another one. That one hit another one. That one hit another one. And pim, 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 pim. All the tall trees fell down like that. So then, all the ass-like friends of Dhanuka, they become very angry. They started charging. Now Dhanukasura is killed, so now Krishna can get into the act. He tightened his belt, got ready. He began throwing. He and Balaram were both throwing all the ass-like demons. They were all different colors. It described, he threw them into the tops of the tall trees, so it was like different colored clouds. And they killed off all of the ass-like demons. Of course, it was a big mess. Big bloody mess was there. So that day, it's described, that day the cowherd boys didn't take any tall fruits because it was a messy place. But there was some Pulindas, Aborigine people who lived in the forest. So they came and ate all those tall fruits because they don't have any cleanliness. Simple. But like we said, the tall fruits come in rainy seasons. After a while, everything became clean and nice. So then the cowherd boys began to come there and eat all the tall fruits. And Kamsa became very angry. Because previously they were protecting that tall forest and sending all the tall fruits to Kans. And those demons never let any Vaishnava or any devotee or any Vrishvasi ever touch those tall fruits. And now all the Vrishvasis began to enjoy those tall fruits. And Kamsa became bereft of his supply of tall fruits from Talavan. So Bhaktivinoda Thakur explains that Dhanukasura represents this ass-like materialistic mentality. Ass-like materialistic mentality. Because this materialistic mentality is just like the ass. Just like if you go to America, the slogan is, work hard and enjoy hard. Work like an ass and enjoy like an ass. Work hard, enjoy hard. So this is the ass-like materialistic mentality. Therefore, Balaram kills him because Guru's business is to rectify the mentality of the disciple. And we know Baladev, he's Adi Guru, he's original Guru. So he kills, not Krishna kills, but Balaram kills this materialistic mentality. That's the duty of the Guru. Because ass is so foolish, every day he's carrying heavy loads. Again, we read all these things in Prabhupada's books, but we can go to Vrindavan, you can see before your very eyes. We see the asses carrying bricks, carrying sand, carrying big, big piles of laundry. He's carrying big, heavy load. And funny thing, he's not even carrying his own load. He's carrying load for somebody else. At the end of the day, his master gives him a little grass. All day long, he's walking on the path. There's grass on both sides of the path. Grasses are everywhere. But he's thinking, unless I work, how I can eat grass? The grass is there everywhere, but he's thinking, unless I work, how can I enjoy grass? Just like there were some merchants going through the forest and some dacoits jumped out. So immediately they surrendered all the riches. Please take, leave us, don't spare us, spare our lives, please take. So the dacoits, they took all their riches. Then, I said, we gave you everything, why are you hitting us? Unless we do some work, how are we going to eat? We can't eat for free. So if ass is thinking that unless I work hard like this ass, then how are you going to eat grass? Grass is everywhere. Then Prabhupada gives another example. After filling his belly, then he goes to the Shias for sex life. Again, we have seen personally in Vrindavan. And you know, mouth is a little hollow. So he comes behind the Shias. What did she do? She kicks him right in the mouth. Boop! This sort of hollow sound comes. I have seen it and heard it. Boop! Now he just got his lips smashed against his teeth. So his lips are all bruised. He's going... We read about it. You can go to Vrindavan and see before your very eyes. So this is a foolish ass-like mentality. Actually, ass is so foolish, his another name is Vaisak Nandan. Because we know after Gorpurnima, then there comes Chaitra, then there comes Vaisak. Vaisak is very hot and very dry. So the ass is very difficult for him to find grass. He finds a little bit here, he walks down the road, he finds another little bit, he finds another little bit. He walks for kilometers and kilometers. Then he looks back and he said, wow, I went so far, I must have eaten so much grass. He becomes happy. And we see happy people just like our Sarvabhauma, huh? Always jolly. Sort of fatty, they become fatty. They're happy people, they become fatty. So the ass and the Vaisak, he becomes very fatty and strong. Although he didn't eat hardly any grass because he's happy. Because he looks back and says, wow, I worked so hard. I walked so far. I ate so much. I must have eaten so much. Then rainy season comes. And grass is everywhere. And the ass, he's eating and eating and eating and eating and eating and eating and eating. Then he looks back and says, oh, I didn't go anywhere. He becomes very worried. And worried people, we see, they become very skinny. So in rainy season, ass, he becomes very... dubal, very weak and unhealthy like that. He's such a foolish animal. So Guru's business to kick out this enjoying mentality from the disciple. Therefore Balaram does this killing of Denukasura. You see Balaram, he's got two weapons. One we just heard about, the plow. That plow, that is for plowing the hearts of the living entities. Because now burned by scorching heat of lust, our heart has become very hard. So like in Vrindavan we saw last, in hot season, all the ground becomes very hard like a rock. So we cannot plant in that hard ground, nothing will grow. So we see all the farmers, they come and plow. Especially in hot season, it's very difficult to sleep at Brindakun. It's so hot, so they do it in the moonlight all night long. Because then the ground becomes soft, then the seed will grow. So now our heart is scorched by lust, it's become very hard. The bhakti lata bij will not grow in such a heart. So Baladev, he's got a plow to plow the hearts of the living entities, make it very soft for the Bhakti Lata Beej to come. Then his other weapon, because we don't have any word in English, we say club. But actually Balaram's weapon is not a Hanuman club. It's like, actually the word is mushal. Mushal is a type of thing for smashing the rice to break off the husk. It's shaped just like a pregnant baseball bat, American baseball bat, like this. And you bang the rice, because we want to get the rice as the sar, the essence is that rice. That's the useful thing. On top of it, there's some brown husk that is useless. Useless means anart. Useless means anart. So we have to get rid of that useless thing, because we want to get that rice is what we want. That is the essence. So Baladev's other weapon is mushal for getting rid of all of our anarts. Because that is Guru's, that is also Guru's business, to get all of our anarts out of our heart. And outside of the temple there's a very huge kund called, named after Balaram, Sankarshan Kund. Very nice place. So bell is ringing, so we'll give our voice rest here. If there's any questions, we can try to answer. No questions? Everybody fell asleep in my class. Everybody's hungry, all right. Yeah, my signal's also going do-do-do-do-do-do-do-do-do. So if there's no more questions, then we'll all fall down at the very soft and wonderful lotus feet of that great personality who is trying to get rid of our ass-like materialistic mentality, Srila Prabhupada ki. Oh, in the way in the back there's a question. Here comes Bhakta Mike.
Hare Krishna Prabhu.
Hare Krishna.
Last class you gave that Ram's brother killed this Lavanasur.
Yes.
And that's why you said this all brush water has become salty.
Yes.
But I heard like this also, because when Krishna went to Dwarka, Mathura, and he not came back, and then all yes. Brajavasis cry, and that's water up the eyes, that's why.
Yes, that is also true. Brajavasis, they say both things. In Madhuvan they say that it's because of Lavanasur, and elsewhere in Braj they say because of Gopi's tears.
Yeah, I heard like that. From that time, how many Gopi, in how many days they cry, still now also this water is salty. Because tears.
So they cried oceans of tears, so it would take a long time for that salt to go away. Srila Prabhupada ki.